Black and Bright is a literary festival with a difference. Over 5 days in September, more than 60 First Nations writers and storytellers will meet in venues across Melbourne to share their work. I'll open the festival with an event called Read a Black Book Lately with poet Evelyn Araluen. The renowned master storyteller Tony Birch will present a keynote called Smoke Whispers Sorrow about grief. There'll be panel discussions about Australia Day in a hypothetical that pits blacktivists against blackademics. And in treaty year, Ali Kobi Ekerman, Marie Mankara, Uncle Jim Everett and Ellen Van Nierven will come to grips with the treaty process underway in Victoria. Dr. Gary Foley will guide some of the next generation of activists in something called the Young Tent Embassy. The festival's mostly free and will be held in venues such as the Wheeler Centre across Melbourne CBD. There's also the Melbourne Museum. And as Jane Harrison tells it, the festival director, you don't need to have published a book. There's song, there's playwriting, there's language revival and spoken word. Jane Harrison is the festival's director. Jane, welcome to Away.
Thank you, Daniel. I'm so excited that you're going to be joining us.
I'm the least
kicking it off.
I'm the least impressive thing about the festival program, I have to say.
Not at all.
But this is a point, isn't it? It's a literary festival, and in that we are talking about a diverse range of storytelling. It's not just people who've had work published.
That's exactly right, Daniel. I think we are, of course, the oldest storytellers, continual cultural people telling stories that have been handed down orally. But we're also in some ways the youngest, because it wasn't until 1967 that indeed our authors were being published. And I just think, I actually call our guests writers and storytellers, because as you said, we have lots of different ways of telling story. We have an opera singer in our one of our events. We have elders telling stories around the fireplace. And as you said, all of the various genres, spoken word, poetry, playwriting. So it's, I think it's the story that's the important part of the event, not
absolutely
how many books you have published, because I think also some of those writers will become part of the literary publishing world.
And that's the thing. It's a literary festival, of course, but there are oral literatures. There are things that we haven't written down that are part of our story as blackfellas. There are oral histories. Charcoal Lane is one of the venues. There's a lot of oral history there in that part of Fitzroy and Collingwood. And not everything gets written down. I'm reminded of something that Romaine Morton once said, and that is, writing is like death. And I don't want to kind of put too fine a point on it or kind of bring things down. But that is part of, the way we transmitted culture was through the voice and through interaction and relationality. And that's what Black and Bright also does. You're bringing all these people from all over the country together. Yes. To yarn about work.
And celebrate together. So I guess the first time I did this festival in 2016, my hidden agenda there was to start to really promote a strengths-based approach to Aboriginal people. I was sick of the deficit model, and I was sick of us always being associated with issues. I want to showcase our talent, our brilliance, our laughter and, the humour of the stories, in all their different, as you said, all their different ways of being communicated. And I think we're ready for this as a country. I just saw Australian Dream on the weekend, and it's horrifying that we're having to still deal with racism in 2019. And I think that if we can share our stories, that children are reading picture books written by Aboriginal First Nations writers, and there's more books on the curriculum at schools, and that, yes, older people are reading First Nations authored books and hearing those stories, we can start coming together more as a nation.
Well, that, you know, listening to stories is key, isn't it, in being understood if you come from an oral culture. But one of the things that really strikes me about the festival program is that Tony Birch will present something that I'm very much looking forward to. And you've had to, I would imagine, work quite closely with Tony in order to get him. Is it a conversation, or is he presenting some words? Because he's an award-winning writer, but a poet, kind of historian. He does everything.
He is. He's a polymath. I was absolutely thrilled to have Tony in the program. I wasn't successful in getting him along last time. He's a very busy man. He's in demand. And in fact, the Thursday night session after that, he's flying up to Queensland for their Writers' Festival. He has had a new book release, The White Girl. But for us, he's given us a very intimate session dealing with recent grief in his life and how he is healing from that process through walking on country and being in nature. And I think we're really privileged as an audience to be a part of that. Listening audience.
He knows how to hold an audience.
He certainly does. He's a master storyteller, but I think the generosity in sharing this very, very raw, very personal and recent grief at the festival is, it's a beautiful act of generosity on his behalf.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, five full play readings of new work in one day. Is that right?
Yes.
Dang, what are you doing?
Yes, I know. It's mad. Last time we did six plays in a day, and it was one of the more popular sessions, actually, in the program. I thought we'd up the ante and just drive my producers womba, even more womba, by having five full-length plays. They are play readings, but we've got some great talent there in Glenn Shea, Marianne Sam, Jacob Boehm, Ellen Van Nieuwen, who is well-known, of course, for being both a poet and a prose writer, but is now venturing into the wacky world of playwriting. And we've got some great directors in Margaret Harvey, Glenn Shea and John Harding, as well as some brilliant actors. So it's really exciting to have Black Mama.
And so there'll be a very small cast, a minimal cast of actors, or will the playwright do the play reading?
Not the playwright, no. We have a great cast of some very seasoned actors, including Leroy Parsons, who people would know, just a whole bunch, Monica Caro, and also, non-Indigenous actor Sid Brisbane, who's really well known as well. So, no, we've got full casts for these shows.
Wow.
So some of them are three-handers, some of them six-handers.
I'm crying for your producers. I really am.
We won't talk about that.
No, okay. Moving right along.
Yes.
The diversity and the range of voices is something that, I mean, you're a playwright in your everyday life, among other things. Being a festival director is a whole other kettle of fish. As event manager, you've got to conceive of all these ideas. You've got to think about how you get audiences gripped and interested and passionate about writing. That's not easy. You know, it's a whole other kind of way of thinking about the written word.
It is, Daniel.
Word,
it's exciting. It really is exciting, but it's the level of detail is, you know, that goes on behind the scenes, but that's why I've got fantastic producers. So shout out to my producers and marketing team and everything. We're a very small team. Most of us work part-time in this role. We're doing it on a shoestring, but we're all passionate. We all believe in it. And I think that is just, you know, that's why it's happening, because we're just determined to do it and to bring 100, you know, to have a program where it's 100% First Nations. I mean, we don't have a diversity panel in this festival because we don't need to. We're black and we're storytellers.
It's diverse. I mean, it's inherently diverse.
It's inherently diverse. They're diverse in terms of genres, yes, but we don't have to sell the fact that we're First Nations writers.
It's just a given.
It is a given, and it gives the writers strength when they're on stage, when the whole panel, the moderator, etc.
And there's also something else that happens in that kind of context, and that is you start to create work of the imagination. Like when we stop having to tell, I was just talking to Stan Grant about this very subject, about not having to say, I'm Aboriginal, I'm Bundjalung, I'm from here. You know, going back and trying to explain ourselves or kind of talk about
where,
justify ourselves. There is no need for that. It's just like, yes, move on. Like next.
Let's
talk about the work. And that's incredibly
or
fruitful.
Or the ideas.
That's an incredibly fruitful and productive place to be, I think, creatively.
Well, I hope so. And I did get that strong sense from the artists from the 2016 event. In fact, one of the comments that stuck in my mind was one of our very award-winning artists who said, it's the first time I've been to a writers' festival where I haven't had to explain myself. She could just talk about her practice as an artist.
And that's when the work is honed and the work is, you know, it's really ready to present. I think that kind of environment creates really sharp, you know, and Alison Whittaker talks about this, about, you know, black women being the best critics of her work and the best people who are able to judge when it hits those notes that it has to hit in order for it to be a good work.
Yes, absolutely. And going back to Tony, I went to a session on The White Girl, and he had three colleagues, all black women, all doing PhDs, who were his early readers for that book. And they gave him the feedback on his female characters. And, you know, he was immensely, I don't want to talk on behalf of Tony, he can do that very adequately himself, but I noted that he acknowledged their contribution.
I'm really looking forward to Melanie Munninger Williams, spoken word hero of mine. And but so many, and I'm just struck by, even going back to 2016 in the first festival, this is just really, it's like leaping off the page. There's so much here for anyone who's interested or passionate or even cares slightly about the kind of work being made by writers and storytellers all over the country.
Thank you, Daniel. That's very kind. Yes, of course. And of course, the other thing is accessibility. Like it's for everyone. So we've made most of the program free. There's a couple of little costs against some events, but we don't turn away people. There's places in the masterclasses with Claire Coleman and Marie Mankara, still places in those. And we don't turn people away, especially First Nations people, if they want to come to those events. Contact us and we'll do what we can.
All right, Jane, I loved the first Black and Bright and I'm really looking forward to this one. Thank you so much for putting this awesome festival program together.
It's my privilege and pleasure, and I look forward to seeing you on opening night, Daniel.
The playwright Jane Harrison and director of the Black and Bright Literary Festival, which is being held from the 5th to the 8th of September, the week after next, in venues across Melbourne CBD. And they include the Wheeler Centre, the Melbourne Museum, RMIT, Charcoal Lane in Fitzroy Collingwood, and the Koori Heritage Trust there in Federation Square. There's a link to a full program from the festival on our website, abc.net.au/rn. Just find a way in the program menu.